Happy Easter! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And this is a time for us to celebrate. But how do we celebrate? How do we find happiness when things are maybe not exactly what we want, how we want, when we want? Because that often happens, right? We want happiness, but we only find it when we get that whole list of things checked off. And sometimes it is so hard to check off those items. And so how do we find happiness even when things aren't exactly the way we want it, when we want it, how we want it? And so today we are going to look at that. We are going to try to figure out how to answer that question for ourselves by looking at the resurrection story. And we're going to look at the one out of Luke. In all four Gospels, there's a resurrection story. They all have differences. Sometimes they don't match up very well. It's kind of interesting because it's four different perspectives. There's different aspects that they're trying, the writer is trying to get us, help us to understand about it because it's confusing. The resurrection is very, very confusing. And we find that the disciples and the women who go to the tomb are absolutely confused. They do not know what in the world is going on. And as we look at this story, to remember that there are certain things, there are certain customs that they're just kind of normal, like the tomb, the door being open, the stone rolled away. Well, practice at that time was not to close it for 3 days, much like we don't close it, or we didn't prior to modern medicine, where we'd use mirrors under people's noses, or we would sit with the body because we weren't sure, are they really dead? And the stone was kept open, the tomb was kept open because of, well, they may be able to walk out. And so for us of going, all right, so there are certain things that, you know what, that's just kind of normal customs of the day, but still they are grieving, they are hurting, and they are confused. And so how do we understand happiness? How do we find happiness even when things aren't very clear? Join me in prayer. God, we give thanks that we get to celebrate this time, that your love is forever present, that you have not abandoned us. May we be inspired this day as we read through this story of Scripture in how our life can be renewed constantly in every aspect. Help us, O God, to find that happiness in you. Amen. So beginning in Luke 24, verses 1 through 4, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming, bright clothing. All right, so we got the setup. The women have gone, they've brought spices. Again, a normal custom of the first century. They're gonna prepare the body. It's an act of kindness, it's an act of care. And so they show up ready to do that. And we can imagine every burden that they are carrying at the moment. That they probably are carrying some fear because of everything that had gone down just days before. We can understand why they may be struggling because they are grieving. And here they show up, they're ready to care for the body of Jesus, and the stone is not closed, which again, customary to not do that for 3 days. And the problem comes when they look in. When they look in and there is no Jesus. And so now that fear, that chaos, that sense of what in the world is happening begins to build on top of the pain that they're already experiencing, right? Layer upon layer. And when we're thinking of happiness, it's like, well, of course they can't be happy here. Even when we go, all right, how they approach this could help them, right? The philosopher, emperor of Marcus Aurelius, he says, the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. Okay, but what about when things are absolutely confusing, when they kind of are starting to compound one on top of the other, how do we understand it then? And it's important to note, right? They're there. They don't run. They're kind of like, what in the world is happening? And suddenly two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. All right? That doesn't make them run. And to realize, they've got to be a little bit curious. They've got to be a little bit curious about what in the world is happening, about making sense of the situation. And for ourselves, when we're thinking about, all right, if we're on this journey of how do we find happiness when there are so many complex, disturbing, disruptive layers of our life, how do we find it? Of going, well, how do we get curious about, well, maybe I need to understand a little bit more. What piece of information am I missing? And so they're curious about the situation, which means that they are staying in it. They are not leaving. And for ourselves to think about that, of how we get curious about others, about situations, about things, so that we don't immediately just turn and go, just leave, but instead get curious so that we can find, we can journey on this path in new and different ways. We may come to a greater understanding of what in the world is happening. Continuing on in verses 5-8, the women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words. All right, so they've stayed long enough to actually enter into a conversation with these two guys who are in bright clothing, which in and of itself, that's kind of curious. It's like, what? Okay, what's happening here? And these guys remind them of the things that Jesus said. And this is really important for us on this journey of going, all right, what are the words that we hold on to? What are the things of the past that remind us, that give us wisdom for the present, for how to deal with, for how to approach, for how to get through? And so it's interesting because here they start reminding them, which has the women going, oh yeah, like I can remember this, I can remember that. And to think for ourselves that when we are in complex, uncertain situations of what do we go to, what do we hang on that actually helps us in the moment. And there are some really great sayings of Jesus that we can reflect on just as the women reflected on. In fact, a few of them are, you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's out of Matthew 22:39. Or be wise as snakes and innocent as doves. Matthew 10:16. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew 6:34. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, Luke 6:27. Do not judge and you will not be judged, do not condemn and you will not be condemned, forgive and you will be forgiven, Luke 6:37. And finally, come to me all you who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest, Matthew 11:28. And there are dozens more of these, of thinking through, okay, how do I get through this moment? Don't worry about tomorrow because there's enough worry about today. Maybe approaching, oh, well, innocent as a dove, but as wise as a serpent, right? Of going, all right, what are the things I need to be holding on to? What is the wisdom I need for this moment? Because in those wise sayings, in the way that Jesus lived, in the way he conducted his life, in the way that he showed up, in the things that he said, he gives us ways for showing up in our moments and dealing with it. Does it mean it doesn't cause confusion and there isn't pain? Absolutely not. But that we have a way forward, through, around, that we aren't alone in this. to recognize that happiness is part of it. Happiness, we can't stop things from happening. We can't stop the chaos of this world. We can only respond. We can only make sure we're not contributing. But to find happiness, we have to go, wait a minute, I need a little bit of wisdom here of how to get through, how to get around, that whatever the issue is, the uncertainty is not the thing that consumes our life. There is more to it. And there are more ways to approach it. Continuing on in verses 9 through 10. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. All right. So as they remember, as they've had this interaction of going, I don't know what's going on, we got to go talk about it. And so the women go and they find the apostles, the 11, and begin to share, begin to discuss, begin to go, hey, we remember this. We are told this. This is our experience. And to recognize how important those conversations are, how important it is to have those conversations with those around us. When we're struggling, when we are uncertain, when we don't like our circumstances, who are we going to? Who are we talking with that can kind of help bring us perspective on, okay, what is next? Where do I go from here? How do I move forward, through, and around? And to recognize, who are we that for someone else? Who can come to us? Who can sit with us and feel free to be engaged in conversation, to be engaged in that discussion, so that as the discussion unfolds, it's not one tells the other what to do, but instead, as the conversation unfolds, new insight comes. Because the women are about to gain some important insight in this whole thing. They are about to be reminded that there is absolutely a way forward. There's a new way of living and being, that this moment is shifting them, is starting a new chapter for their life. It's kind of like the philosopher Seneca says, every new beginning comes from other beginnings' end. And so to recognize that the resurrection is an end and a beginning all at the same time. And the women are going, wait a minute, I think something's changing here. Something about our life is taking shape in new and different ways. Going to verses 11 through 12. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense. And they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened. All right, so right there, we get that the women have shared, they've discussed, they've probably been discussing amongst themselves, and they go off. And it's important to note, this is where we know the rest of the story, is that the women are going to go and they're like, wait a minute, something has happened. The resurrection, whatever this is, it's a little confusing and we don't totally understand it, but this is something new. And they aren't going to go back to their old lives, the way things were before the crucifixion, the way things were before they even met Jesus. They're not going to go back to the past and live in it. In fact, they're going to go forward. They're going to go in a new way. This is a new beginning for them. This is a new way for them to live. And they're going to go about it. And they're going to be sharing that with others. Now, the apostles, they're going to struggle a little bit right here, right? They get a little bit stuck. Which, you know, the apostles often get a little bit stuck. Like, it's hard to move forward. It's hard to get around those obstacles, those challenges. It's hard when we are disconcerted about what in the world's happening. It's hard when we're in pain. It's hard when there's grief. And here, they are getting stuck. Peter's going, I don't know. Peter is like, you know what? I think I gotta go check this out for myself. And maybe that's because just days before Peter denied Jesus, maybe Peter is looking for redemption. Maybe Peter is like, man, I got to wake up from this nightmare. Like, this has got to be something different, something new, something has changed. And here, it's really important for us to be reminded of what C.S. Lewis, the author, says that can help us when we're feeling that we want to get stuck, but we know we need to move forward, that it's stuff is kind of holding us back. When he says, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. Let's hear that again. Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. And ultimately, the apostles will. Peter, in this moment, lets go a little bit. And he goes home. He's like, I wonder what's going on. And we do know the apostles do not go back. They begin something new. They begin a new chapter in their lives. And to think about that, of how happiness, sometimes we're so sad by an end. Sometimes that end is so painful, and yet every end has a new beginning. And some things we're just going to have to let go of to move forward. Some things we're going to have to let go of to be able to experience that newness, to start that new chapter of our lives. And to recognize, what are the things we need to let go of right now? What are the things we need to go, you know what, I need to give that over to God right now so we can begin that new chapter, so we can begin moving forward, so we can begin experiencing some happiness in our lives. Continuing on in Isaiah 25, 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of heavenly forces will prepare for all peoples a rich feast, a feast of choice wines, of select foods, rich in flavor, of choice wines, well refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the veil that is veiling all peoples, the shroud enshrouding all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe tears from every face. He will remove his people's disgrace from off the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken. They will say on this day, look, this is our God for whom we have waited, and he has saved us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let's be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So if we're wondering, all right, how do we begin that new chapter? What does that even begin to look like? All right, Peter is able to do it. The apostles do it. The women do it. They're ready to begin. They're ready to start that new beginning. How do we know how to do it? How do we start it today? Because every day is a new opportunity. In fact, Mary Shelley, the author, says the beginning is always today. If we don't think we can begin again, nope, the resurrection says we can. The resurrection gives us a foundation. The resurrection says, yeah, actually, things can change. When we think that death has had the last word, whatever the worst thing that has happened, that death has had the last word, the resurrection says, no, it doesn't. And Isaiah is getting to that. Isaiah is getting at, you know why death doesn't have the last word? Because of God's abundance. That feast, God's abundance surrounds us. That abundance of love, the abundance of peace, the abundance of joy, the abundance of forgiveness, the abundance of mercy and grace. And so to begin to think about that, to begin to refocus ourselves when we're out like looking for happiness, going, all right, and to recognize, where do we notice the abundance of God's love? Even when things aren't necessarily just the way we want them. I mean, it does say right there, right? The Lord God will wipe tears from every face. All right, that means there are still tears, but that God is wiping them, that God is present, that God's strength is there, that God's comfort is there, that there is an abundance of God's presence right around us, in us, working through us, ready to lift us up and wipe those tears away. And so when we're thinking about, all right, how do I begin to find that happiness? How are we looking for God's abundant presence all around us? How are we allowing that forgiveness into our lives? How are we allowing that love that says we are enough? How are we allowing that grace saying, you know what? There are times where none of us are perfect, and there's that grace to hold us, and it is abundant, and it keeps coming over and over again. God's strength, when we're like, I don't know how to get through this, of God going, no, I've got you. I am with you. Not easy. Not going to experience pain, but God's strength is there, working in us and through us and guiding us. And are we willing to look and to notice? Because this ends with, let's be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Of going, you know what? All those wounds that we've got, all of those places of pain, of how God's light and love can be that soothing balm, can change our lives, can save us, can redirect us in the way that we are living, in the way things that we are focused upon, in the things that we allow to define ourselves. And this whole thing about the resurrection of, does the resurrection get the last word? Does life and love get the last word? Do Jesus' teachings and sayings help us in those moments? Do they help bring us to new understandings of what happiness is, a new understanding of ways of living? Does it help us begin new each and every day? Does it help us to begin new in the moment when we think, man, I've got too much from the past? How does the resurrection begin to redefine and reshape and bring new chapters, start new chapters of our lives? The Archbishop Desmond Tutu says, forgiveness says you are given another chance to make a new beginning. Now that is a powerful aspect of God's salvation. Of God going, yeah, whatever's happened, whatever that wound is, whatever that pain is, how will we go, you know what, I want my life to have a foundation of the resurrection. That impetus of going, you know what, I need a new beginning. I need a new beginning with a foundation on God's love, God's abundant love. Of going, you know what, Jesus gave us some ways to live, some things to think about. And so when we're thinking about how do you find happiness, how do we answer that? Well, we can start to get curious, like the women at the tomb. We can start remembering those teachings of Jesus. We can start having those conversations, those discussions, and looking for wisdom so that we get the perspective we need of going, you know what? I'm not going to get stuck. I'm not going to get stuck in this or in the past. In fact, what is the new chapter that's being written? What is the new beginning I am being called to that founded on God's love, on God's abundant love, on God's forgiveness, on God's mercy? I'm going, all right, how will we recognize the abundance that is all around us? How will we allow the resurrection to help us recognize that abundance so that we might find a little more happiness in our lives? We might find happiness even when there are all those layers of complexity kind of getting in our way or kind of messing with our vibe of going, you know what? Wait a minute. I can start anew right now. I can have a different perspective. I can respond differently. I can absolutely settle myself into the comfort and love of God this day. How will we allow the resurrection to help us find happiness? Amen.